Hello, and welcome to this half hour of Rowlett's Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rowlett's, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for a wonderful Sunday school program, or maybe you could come on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or maybe you could join us on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our Bible study. We would love to have you and your family come join us. But now I want to encourage you, if you don't attend Rowlett's, that's okay, because there are lots of great churches in our community, lots of great churches. Any one of those churches would be more than glad to have you and your family serving there alongside them as we begin to see, I think, the final stretch as we get into this final leg of the race that God has set before us as we look for the quick return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you so much today for tuning in, being with us. I've been told several of you folks there at Louisville Bedding are listening, so I just want to say hello to you and God bless you. I'm praying for you. I know what it's like. I work in a factory on third shift, work there every night, and I tell you, it has its own special challenges. There are special challenges with being a Christian in a factory environment, and it's tough now. It's hard, but I want to encourage you. I want to give you a word this morning. It's like the Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "Ask the Lord for rain in the springtime. It is the Lord who makes the storm clouds. He gives showers of rain to men and plants of the field to everyone." Now, folks, here's what he's talking about. Sometimes we go through dry, desert places, and I'll be honest with you, some of the factories that I've been in and the one I work in at times, spiritually, it can be a dry, barren place. It can be a place that we don't see a whole lot of good spiritual things happening. As a matter of fact, I'll be quite frank with you, we see a lot of folks are being torn down spiritually in those places. But I want you to remember that it's God who sends the rain, and it's God who sometimes bring the rain in storm clouds. And so you might be going through a stormy time in your life right now, but I want to remind you that God can take that rain that comes from that storm, and He can use that to produce some wonderful things in your life. And so God bless you, and God keep you, and God keep His hand over you while you're there in that place, that you might be a witness to that person that you work beside, that you might be a witness to that person that you see every morning. And hey, don't forget about the ones on night shift like me. Tell them good morning and ask them, you know, tell them you're praying for them to be careful on the way home. I tell you, some mornings it's pretty rough. I want to take just a moment, if I could as well, and wish happy birthday or anniversaries, you know, to some of the folks here at Rowlett's Baptist Church. First of all, Thursday the 11th, Miss Anna Holly is celebrating a birthday, as well as the wonderful Mrs. Barbara Lane. So happy birthday, Anna, Barbara, today. Also, Lori Meredith. Lori will be celebrating a birthday on Saturday the 13th. Sunday the 14th, Miss Lula Slaughter and Miss Carissa Ward will both be celebrating birthdays. Monday the 15th, Mr. Chris Meredith will be celebrating a birthday, as well as Tuesday the 16th, Mrs. Ruby Meredith will be celebrating a birthday as well. And one anniversary, I want you to tell Henry and Anna Metter, if you see them out somewhere, Saturday the 13th, you tell them happy anniversary. And if anybody talks to Henry before then, remind him. Don't let him forget about this, because he definitely wants to keep Miss Anna on his good side, which usually he does a pretty good job. So happy anniversary, happy birthday to those folks. Love these folks. Love being able to serve these folks as their pastor here at Rowlett's. And I'll tell you, sometimes it's a surreal moment to watch and see and realize that God has put me in the position that He's in. Folks, I'll tell you, I'm just over and above and beyond blessed by the Lord. And I know that it comes from being obedient to Him. I do. I know that. And I know that if I am obedient to God, I can be blessed even more. And the level of blessings and the level of pleasure that God takes in my life come hand in hand with the amount of obedience that I give toward Him. And you know, that goes right in. That's a perfect segue right into where we're at here in this book of Philippians. I enjoy this book. As a matter of fact, when I have free time, this is one of the books that I'll pick up, that will be one of the first ones that I want to read, because it's just so full of good stuff. And as we've been making our way through this epistle of Philippians, we find ourselves now in chapter 2, looking at verses 12 through 18. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. I want to read these with you at first, kind of give you an understanding where we're going with this, and then I'd like to comment, if I could, for just a few minutes on some of these things. Philippians chapter 2, we'll begin verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, now we've said this several over the course of the past few weeks, this is the Apostle Paul writing, and Paul is a wonderful, wonderful Bible teacher. As a matter of fact, Paul is such a great Bible teacher, the Holy Spirit chose the hand of Paul to write these words. Now, I want you to be positive about that. The Apostle Paul may have wrote these words physically, but the Holy Spirit wrote them. The Holy Spirit gave them to him. And so, this word, it comes directly from God. And we cannot ever argue that fact. When you go to arguing about the authenticity of the Bible, then you've got a lot of other issues that need to be taken care of before you worry about Bible study. What do you mean, Brother Duane? What are you saying? I'm saying that if you can't take the Bible for what it says, if you find yourself constantly arguing and not being able to accept what the Bible says, friend, you need to evaluate where you are at spiritually. I'll tell you this, the Bible reveals itself to those that have been born again. And when we've been born again, we've been given a teacher in the person of the Holy Spirit. And through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, you can be a great Bible teacher. Did you know that? That's not beyond the capabilities of the Holy Spirit to turn you, yes, little old you, into a great Bible teacher. So Paul is writing here. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We'll have much to say about that verse. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things, boy, doesn't this tie in with a factory? Do all things without complaining and disputing. That's verse 14. A lot of us factory folks need to put that somewhere where we can see that every day. Philippians chapter 2, 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Now, try to feel Paul's heart right here in verses 17 and 18. Yes. And if I am poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Now, there's some things here that we see many churches, many Bible teachers have taken and made into a perversion. First and foremost being chapter 2, verse 12, where Paul said for us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I want to be very plain as I break this verse down for you. I want to be very frank with you. I want to be very open and honest with you. A lot of places are going to preach this verse, and they're going to preach this verse in a manner that would cause you to assume that there are some works you must do on your own in order to achieve salvation. They're going to tell you that maybe there's something that God has required of you in order for you to be saved. And I'll tell you today, that is nothing but a stumbling block. I promise you right now that if you go out here and you try to work out your own salvation through acts of works, then you are going to be severely misled. I'm going to tell you today that faith is the only thing that can save you. I'm going to tell you today the only work that you can do to achieve any salvation in this whole world is to have faith in Jesus Christ. That you cannot go out here and do enough good deeds. You cannot go out here and give enough to your church. You can't attend enough revivals. You can't go through all these things that people try to lay upon you in order that you might be saved. You can't be saved today because you've been good. You can only be saved today because Jesus Christ was good. You can only be saved today because He loved you. It's not by works that you are saved. It's through faith. Faith in the the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what causes a man to be able to be saved today. And oh, friend, listen, statistics tell me that being born in the place I was born, being raised in the home I was raised, being going through some of the things that have come against me, that I have spent at least a couple of years of my life in a psychiatric ward somewhere, that I should have at least be in a state of depression, that I should at least be in a state of despair. But oh, thanks be to God, I've been delivered from those things, and the statistics aren't able to add up that one plus God overcomes the world. One plus God overcomes the world. And Paul is saying here, work out your salvation. When he says that, he means to implement all God has made available to the believer. It is not a command to work for your salvation. It's a reminder that God has done everything that's required in order for you to be saved today. Everything. Did you need righteousness? Christ has provided it. Did you need justification? Christ has provided it. Do you need sanctification? The Holy Spirit gives it every day. Work it out. Live it. Make it part of your life. When you get up in the morning, say to yourself, today I'm going to add another block on the foundation of my salvation. I'm going to work this out over the course of my life. I'm not going to be found coming short in the end. Work out your own salvation. And do it. Watch this. What's the beginning of knowledge? It's the fear of the Lord. Fear and trembling, because there's a God in heaven that has the power to give life and the power to take life. We shouldn't fear those that could hurt only the body. God has the ability to cast even the soul into the lake of fire. And so with fear and trembling, standing before a mighty, compassionate, and terrible God, we work out our salvation. Why? Verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Oh, friend, listen. The book of Revelation tells us that the prayer of the saints is as a sweet incense. And as you begin to come into your closet, as you become to come into your place of prayer, as you begin to go into a house of worship, the Holy Spirit begins to move in the hearts of those people there. The Holy Spirit begins to move in a congregation, or maybe it's just you praying out for your children or your home. As God begins to move in that, there's a sweet aroma that begins to fill where the presence of the place where you are. And that a sweet aroma rises up into the very nostrils of God. And it's for God's own good pleasure that He saved you. It's for God's own good standards that He saved you. It's for God's own... It's to put for the glory of His name. It's for the glory of His abilities. It's for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. And if anything can be held up for men to stand in awe of, it's not a life that men had given each other. It's not a life that you and I have worked for. It's not a life that you and I are trying to strive for. It's for the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why God does things. That's why God moves in this world. That's why He hung Him upon a cross. It's so that He might be glorified. If He'd have worked it out without the cross, there'd be no glory in it. If He'd have worked it out without any fear and trembling, there'd have been no glory in it. But because He came through the hardest places, the dark places, the places where it seemed to be lost of all hope, the places where it seemed to be the worst, where there might be the most glorification come, that's the way God brought it through. God brought it to pass in the worst of ways, that it might bring maximum glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us, because of these things, and because of the way Jesus did it, what room do we have to grumble? Verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Grumbling and complaining was a common problem among God's people. I remember reading through the book of Exodus how those children of Israel that had just been delivered by God's mighty hand, as we see God's mighty hand through those plagues, And that mighty, mighty deliverance is wrought through His servant Moses by the mighty hand of God. Over and over again in Exodus 15, Exodus 16, Exodus 17, you can read about it in Numbers 11, Numbers 16, Numbers 21. Time and time again, the people of God simply complained and they grumbled and they griped and they would say statements like, "Oh, if you'd have just left us in Egypt, we had an easier life. Oh, if you'd have just left us there in slavery, we'd have an easier life." Friend, listen. Slavery sometimes can be an easy life, but when you die, you're still a slave. And a lot of you now, you're living in sin. You're living in a place where God can't use you. Some of you are Christians and you're backslid to the point that you can't get any glory from God. Some of you ain't never been saved. And some of you think, all that church stuff, it's not for you. But listen, friend, it is for you. Jesus Christ died, whether you believe in Him or not. Jesus Christ is the atonement for sin, whether you want to admit those things or not. And Jesus died for you whether you'll accept Him or not. And that puts a mighty, mighty heaven, a burden on you that you can't carry. It puts something on you you won't be able to atone for one day. It puts something on you that is going to hold you in condemnation. And the only way to get out of that slavery is to be set free. And a servant of God came one day. He preached to the people. He told the people to follow Me. I'm not talking about Moses anymore. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only requirement that He's ever put on you is to follow Me. Come, follow Me. How wonderful. That's the only requirement is to follow Him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Why? Verse 15 answers that. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Let me ask you something. Are you shining? Have you got a glow about you? Have you got an aura about you that people can see? I want to ask you, look at it this way. Is your neighborhood a better neighborhood because you're a Christian? Do you have an effect on people through your spirituality? Is that person that works beside you, are they glad you're a Christian? They see that on you and they think, man, I'm so glad that they're a Christian. Listen, folks, I got to tell you, I've worked in that factory longer than I've really been sold out to the Lord. I've worked in that factory. I was in a backslidden state. I was in a position where God couldn't use me. God was getting no glorification through me. And in January of 2000, something happened in my soul, and God pulled me back into a place where I could be used by Him. God put me back into a position, and I walked into that factory one day, and I was a different man. And I wanted to make sure that person that worked beside me knew that I was a different man that day. And I've been earning it back ever since. I tell you, I about ruined my reputation. I about took it to a point where there wasn't any getting it back. And it's took a mighty long time to get people to see there was a change happening to me. But you know what I believe right now? I believe you can walk into the place where I work and you say, "Is this place better because Dwayne Cook's a Christian?" And they'd say, "Oh yes, I can remember the days when he didn't do nothing but pull others down, when he didn't do nothing but cause hate and discontent. I can remember those days, but now I'm trying to be a light. I'm trying to shine." How do you do that? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Look at verse 16. "By holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Listen, folks. Serving Jesus Christ will always pay off. Now, you may not see dividends in this life. I'm serious. You may not see a huge change in your family. You may not see a huge change in those around you. But I promise you this, there'll come a day when you'll close your eyes for that last time. And that last breath that'll ever leave your lungs is expelled out into this world. And then and then and then you'll see what a great, great return on the investment that you made. I tell you, folks, there's never been a better gift that's ever been given. There's never been a higher prize that's ever been awarded. There's never been a greater privilege than there is today to be able to stand before a world that is lost and sinful, to be able to stand before a world that don't know any hope, that don't know anything about tomorrow and the know and be able to say to that world many things about tomorrow I may not understand, but I know who holds tomorrow and I know who holds my hand. Oh, friend, I hope you can say that with me today. I really do. Paul said, verse 17 and 18, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice. Now watch this. In those days, when we think about a drink offering, we know that God had commanded that at certain times that there were drink offerings, offerings of wine, offerings of the bullocks, of blood, the blood of bullocks and different things to be poured out upon the altars. And that was to be symbolic of what our lives should be. That's to be symbolic of how our spirits should interact with God. And when they poured these out, it wasn't just a little trickle out of a small-nosed little bottle, but it was poured out in a great deluge upon this altar. Buckets with wide mouths were just dumped all at once. It was just spilled out, and there was nothing to be left. And Paul's saying, I will pour myself out on the sacrifice and service of your faith. And then he says an amazing, amazing statement. I'm glad. I'm glad and rejoice with you all. You know, there's some folks' faith that I'm very, very glad of. And as I have the honor, as I have the wonderful opportunity to stand before a couple of hundred people every Sunday and talk about the things of God, to look at the faith that they display, to look at how God has worked in their lives, all I can do is say I'm glad and I rejoice in their faith. Friends, listen, your faith can build the faith of those around you. Your reactions to the circumstances of this life can build up the faith of someone around you. And I want to challenge you this morning. I want you to evaluate where you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to ask yourself, can I shine a little more? Can somebody look at my life and say, I'm glad and rejoice of my faith? I hope you can answer that question. I hope you can answer it with an open and a contrite heart and know that God is looking to do something wonderful with just you. Just you, God can wrought a mighty work in this world. Friend, will you close with me in a word of prayer? Father God, I come before you this morning knowing that, dear Lord, you're looking to bolster someone's faith. Father, knowing that you're looking for someone to be touched today by your hand, for the Holy Spirit to do a mighty work in somebody's heart. And Father, I thank you that Jesus delivered us not only from sin and not only from the condemnation that come with being a sinner, but Jesus has delivered us from the ordinariness of life. That we don't have to be satisfied with the life as the world hands it to us. And many today will say, oh, life is so full of sorrow. Life's so full of hurt. Life's so full of pain. But, oh God, I know a different sort of life. I know a different sort of way that you gave me one time. And that, God, I rely upon that every day. And, Father, I thank you for the joy of my salvation. I thank you, dear God, that you've turned our mourning into dancing, and that through you we shall always be victorious. Thank you so much, dear Lord. I ask you these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. God bless you, friend. God bless you from Rowlett's Baptist Church.